You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're talking to our own compañero, Willie Cosme, the Arca Rican who spent many, many years with us in Arkansas and sort of invented Spanish language programming on the radio. But now he's back in Puerto Rico for some time, maybe a long time, taking care of his mother and reacquainting himself with what's going on. Willie, welcome to Wade's World. We got you on the other end of the mic today.
Good morning, and thank you.
Look, Willie, every day we're reading about what's happening in Puerto Rico, and I thought this was a great opportunity for all of our listeners and in our community to find out what people are really saying and thinking about the crisis in Puerto Rico. We hear that virtually the island is bankrupt. Bond notes are not getting paid. What's happening?
Well, it seems like we're out of money. We're like we become like a person who has 20 credit cards and they're all full, and they keep on borrowing from one to loan to the other, and we're broke. We're basically broke, and there's been a task force assigned to look into who do we pay first, if we pay anybody first. You know, how much money there is, and they're supposed to report to the governor by the 30th of this month.
You're in a unique situation, and let's just clarify that, because I think probably some people in our listenership are confused exactly what the status of Puerto Rico is. If everybody in Puerto Rico is a commonwealth, what does that mean?
We are a commonwealth. That really, what that really means is that we're a colony of the United States. We have rights here. We're born citizens, but we're basically second-hand citizens. You know, we cannot vote for the president. We do have our own form of government, which is the same as in the United States. But, yeah, we receive health care from the United States. We pay for Social Security, all of those things. We just don't get the same benefits, and we don't have the right to vote over there, unless we live in the States because we are born citizens.
So if someone leaves Puerto Rico and comes to Arkansas or Florida or wherever, you can vote in elections federally, but not on the island itself.
That is correct. And we don't need a passport to go from one to the other.
Well, that's at least a good thing. And when there was a mandatory selective service draft, were people from Puerto Rico drafted into the Army?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay, I know. I know that's the case, but we're just clarifying that. So essentially, you get to pay taxes, you get to serve in the military, you just don't get to vote for your elected leadership outside of the island. The governor of the island of Puerto Rico is about the highest office that you get to elect, right?
That is correct.
But that also has a tricky aspect here is that, you know, clearly New York City at one point almost filed bankruptcy. We've had other cities, Richmond, California, you know, some other places that have had to file bankruptcy because they got into bad debt situations. But what I understand, Puerto Rico doesn't really have that option because of its colonial status.
That is correct. We were, that option was taken away, I think it was 1984, or thereabouts. Congress enacted and decided, no, since we are not a state, you know, they could not treat us like if we were a state.
Interesting. Now, one of the things I think that's also not clearly understood is of the, you know, $75 or $80 billion in debt in the island, from what I understand, about a third of that actually are your payments to the federal medical system, because a huge percentage of the Puerto Rican population, something like 60%, is on Medicaid, Medicare. Is that...
That is correct.
So that's a huge crisis. I mean, essentially, you're like bankrupt families in the U.S. who are being driven to bankruptcy partly by medical debt.
Yes, and getting worse because, yeah, we're losing more rights. The prices are being raised. Hospitals are being closed. Doctors are not accepting insurances because the insurance said, no, you cannot. And, you know, people are going to their doctor and having to pay more.
Well, that seems to be almost a human rights crisis, not just a financial crisis, eh?
That's right. And, yeah, it's all because of the laws. You know, we qualify for some things, but not for others. And that's even though we pay the same amount, the same percentage of our salary towards all of these rights.
Very interesting. So we're talking to Willie Cosme. We're actually talking to him in Puerto Rico. Where are you now, Willie?
I'm in the small town of Corozal. That's towards the northeastern part of the island, but it's in the mountains. It's inland. Closer to San Juan than any of the other big cities.
And how far away? San Juan is obviously the city that many people know, and it's a port of call for many cruise ships. But how far away are you from San Juan?
Well, let me tell you, it's only about 25, 30 miles. But, you know, during the day, it could be a 2-3 hour drive in the morning or in the afternoons. At night, it could be like a 20, 30-minute drive.
Boy, that's crazy. That begs the question of traffic infrastructure. And is that because you're in the mountains, it's hard to build the roads, or they just don't really care if you can get there?
It's that there's so many people living in that area that come or working in the San Juan area that go to work and come back from work. That's when the traffic jams are terrible.
And it sounds like they last
a long time. There's people that go in at 8 in the morning. They leave home at 5:30 just to avoid the traffic.
Crazy. Well, I mean, that's something people didn't know, because San Juan is not a small city.
It's a large city. It's our most populous city.
Yeah. So, and of the percentage of the Puerto Rican population, a third, a half, how many live in the greater San Juan area?
I would say about a fourth to a third.
Yeah. So that's significant as well. Now, one of the things that I don't think people know is that besides facing this financial crisis, and maybe it's all connected, there's a little bit of a climate problem in Puerto Rico. You're having a huge drought, from what I understand.
It is incredible. I read about how much rain is falling in some of the states there, but we're getting none. Our reservoirs or dams are emptying out. There's a lot of rationing going on starting in May. It's starting now, August the 13th. There's going to be an increase in rationing in some areas where there's going to be 3 days without water and 1 day with water. And they don't expect any significant rain in the next 2 weeks either.
3 days without water. Those are desert conditions, my brother.
It's awful. And imagine the schools. You know, now school starts on Monday. You got 400 or 500 kids in a school plant without water. Imagine that.
Well, and at schools, there aren't enough bathtubs to fill with water to make it for those number of days. So in the area you're living, which is a little more rural, is the water as big an issue?
I have no. And well, at least not in my house. In town, because they receive water from another source, from the source that's drying out, we're getting it from a super tube that they call here. In town, they have like 12 hours without water each day.
Now, are people respecting these limits? I know this has been the big conversation around the drought in California, whether or not, you know, some people just keep running the hose because they're willing to pay. And, you know, in Beverly Hills, they still, you know, we're just...
Yep, I understood. Well, here in August, just the 1st of August, it started where, you know, neighbors are reporting each other if they see one watering the plants or cleaning the house, you know, just using wasting water, basically. So that's what they're doing is, you know, a lot of people are being reported, and then, you know, somebody comes and investigates and maybe hides around the corner and watches that house and see if it's true, and they get a $250 fine.
Well, that's the crisis of the commons right there. I mean, because obviously, now you don't think of the islands as, you know, you think of Caribbean islands as always right there in the rainstorm. And I know I've been to Puerto Rico once or twice, and I've been caught in some bad rain there. I mean, yeah, a lot of rain. It's a New Orleans kind of a place. It's an Arkansas kind of a place. So is this drought really rare? What are people saying causes this thing? Is this climate change or?
What they're saying is that it's because of El Nino, which has been bad this year, and that's what's causing this. And, you know, surprisingly, we you know, what you hear is on the street is, I wish we got a hurricane or a storm because then the reservoirs would fit. Phil, that's the only way. A lot of rain, because when it does rain, it just drops hard and then stops, you know, like 2-3 minutes later. Not enough to fill anything, but enough to heat it up. And hey, it's hot. Plants are dying. It's dry. It's getting dry. And well, I'm in the mountains, you know, so it's not that bad, but...
But, yeah, if you leave the mountains, but that's obviously a lot of people in San Juan must be just sweating to death. I can't imagine what the conditions are there.
Area there, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And, you know, it's all in whose ox is being gored, and the Gulf Coast, the other parts of the Gulf Coast, this has been the lightest storm season people can remember, and with the 10th anniversary of Katrina coming, you kind of, that's a blessing, but as we're hearing from Puerto Rico, there's some downsides to this El Nino problem. We're talking to Willie Cosme, who's runs the very popular salsa show and still does that from afar.
On Wednesdays, every Wednesday is from 12 to 2 Central Time.
Well, yeah, it's still on there. We're using modern technology the best way we can. Willie, Cuba, that's the next-door neighbor. That's just a spit away from Puerto Rico.
That is correct.
They're talking, you know, clearly you followed this. We all have. There's been a real opening. There are embassies now being reopened for the U.S. in Havana, and the Cuban embassy in Washington, D.C. is reopening. There is a lot of talk about, travel restrictions that have already been loosened, but maybe taking them away completely. What will that mean to Puerto Rico? Because Puerto Rico has been a go-to destination for many tourists looking for an accessible kind of location a little bit in the islands.
Well, we're still in the Caribbean, one of the top five places to go. The problems with the economy haven't seemed to affect tourism so far. We're concerned that because if Cuba opens well, a lot of people are going to be going there. We're concerned that a lot of investors, because of our economic problems, and that it's probably going to be cheaper to invest in Cuba, that a lot of investors will be going to Cuba. But on the better side, a lot of our investors, Puerto Rican investors, will also be investing in Cuba. We have a little more experience having been free and able to negotiate, and we think that maybe we can also move into Cuba.
There were travel restrictions for people moving from Puerto Rico to Cuba as travelers as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, the same as from Florida to Cuba, especially if you're Cuban.
Well, I bet that's true. Was there, when there were all the refugees that were leaving Cuba to come to Florida and New Orleans and other places, were a lot of people coming from Cuba to Puerto Rico?
Well, the thing is, from Cuba to Puerto Rico, there's Haiti and the Dominican Republic in between.
That's right.
So they would maybe go to Haiti or the Dominican Republic, or like Dominicans face, you know, they would get on a boat. The boat would take them to the other side of the Dominican Republic and say, here, we're in Puerto Rico, and they'd be just at home.
Gotcha. Well, the... probably so much of the tourism is convention and major corporate meeting base that may not make a difference. But in terms of the economy, are prices going up for people living in Puerto Rico? Are prices going down because of the crisis? I mean, how does it affect the regular person on the street?
Well, one of the problems is that just before the stuff hit the fan, our income tax, our taxes went up from 7.25 to 11.5. That's like a 60%-ish increase for people that don't make that much money to start with, that are facing economic issues, and now we're having to pay a little bit more.
Well, I mean, that's all of us in, broken up cities and states know that problem. I mean, when they don't have any money, they don't have any choice but to go to those of us who are living there and won't move or can't move, and that's obviously what's happening in Puerto Rico as well. Now, years ago, there was a lot of concern about naval bombing in Vieques, an island right off of Puerto Rican shores. Has that problem all straightened out? Have they cleaned that up? And what's happening there?
It's an island municipality of Puerto Rico, Vieques Island. And, yes, they actually did leave. I believe there's still some cleaning to do. But it's at least they're free of all that bombing, all that waste. All the land that was being used for these issues that belonged to the island, of course. You know, the fishermen couldn't fish in those areas. Now at least they're more free to do so.
Now, they've talked about making that a tourism area, but I've never read anything since then. I mean, I doubt that's just where people are living and trying to make the best way they can, right?
That is correct. What we do have is a ferry from the mainland to for our little mainland. To Vieques Island, you know, people still, it's still a little tourist attraction, same as some of the other little small islands that surround the island of Puerto Rico.
When we were speaking about the Dominican Republic, and obviously there are huge resorts, you know, that have gotten so big.
They are killing us.
Yeah, I mean, that have their own airports and whatever. That was exactly what I was going to ask. I mean, you don't think of, outside of San Juan and cruise ships docking and whatever, you don't think of there being huge resorts in Puerto Rico, are there?
Yes, there are. One, the biggest one, or most attractive one here from what I read is Dorado Beach. Actually, that's where Chiqui Rodriguez was the golf pro.
Oh, okay. Well, he was famous as a pro.
Yeah. Some people may still remember him.
I don't think he's alive, though, now, is he?
I think he is. I believe he was having some issues and was being mentioned in a lawsuit here recently.
Well, let's hope he's doing well. I mean, we don't want to wish anything but the best to Chi-Chi, because he was a, you know, I'm not a golfer. I'm not a golf fan. I don't understand why people play that game at all, Willie. But he was, he put some life into those things. So that
he
is one.
He was a character. He was a character.
He was a character, and there aren't that many of them. So, you know, let's hope he does well. Well, in the area where you live, where you're not dependent on the military or the tourist economy, and you have a drought, is it agricultural? What agricultural products? What's moving Puerto Rico,
or
where do people find jobs?
We still have coffee. We still have bananas and plantains. Yeah, we have fruits and such. Which we use a lot. The problem is that the youth is no longer farming. You know, we're running out of farmers now. We've got a lot of farmland, which has now become urbanized also. A lot of our younger folks are moving to the United States because of the economic situation, leaving the older batch that's not working. That's why such a high percentage are on Medicaid, Medicare. Because it's the older folks that are staying, the ones that are not making the money, and everything's increasing here. Our youth is leaving, our teachers, our doctors, all of those are leaving in droves because they don't face these issues, and they make twice as much money in the States than they do here.
And is this a situation where they're sending money back to their families and reverse remittances, or is it really just a depopulation of the island?
It's a depopulation. It's not so much sending the money because they're taking their kids and family with them.
There's just no reason to stay. So in a smaller community like where your mother lives, have you seen a lot of people just leave for good when you start
talking? There's a lot of closing, yes. There's a lot of closing. In this town, at least, you know, we historically have moved to places like New York, but now we're going to Orlando, to Florida, to Texas. We're facing the same issues as we do in the States. These mega stores are wiping out the small businesses, and in town, in downtown proper, you know, most of the stores and businesses are closed.
But that isn't lowering the land values, it sounds like, from talking to you earlier.
No, the land values are the same. People are just keeping what they have, not selling. Because, you know, unless you come from the States, you probably don't have enough money to purchase a home.
Sir, talk about being caught in the short hairs. So we keep going to these problems of being, you know, partially pregnant, you know, being citizens but a colony. Over the years, there have been different efforts, you know, independence for Puerto Rico, voting for statehood or common or different status. Where does all that stand now? That's got to be confusing for all of us who aren't living there.
Well, the party that's in rule now is the one that wants to remain what we are, a free, liberated, yet associated kind of state. The party that's pushing, trying to push them out and may win the next elections because of this economy issue, you know, and they're all responsible for what's going on. They're the pro-statehood branch. And, you know, if we were, what they're saying is, we were a state, we would have the Chapter 9 situation covered. So they're using that to try to regain power. Independence has never been all that strong. It does seem to gain a little power every once in a while, but the others are just dominating, overpowering the independence move here in Puerto Rico.
When is the next major election for governor, which would probably influence all this?
It's next year.
Next year. So at the same time as the presidential election?
That is correct. About the same time, yes.
Well, I guess there won't be too many presidential candidates coming, though, to campaign in Puerto Rico since they can't get the votes.
But they do come by, you know, every once in a while because we do write to our families over there. We tell how good this so-and-so was when they came by and, you know.
Well, and that, you know, I know that history well. I mean, whenever there was an election in the Dominican Republic, you know, in our New York membership with ACORN, where there's a huge Dominican population, we would be pushed at the National ACORN board level on who we would endorse for president in Dominican Republic.
Well, that is correct. Yeah,
you know, wow, and we'd have board members on one side or the other. Luckily, we said that, you know, we just really couldn't get involved in that, but we weren't prepared to start making endorsements in other countries' elections. But in Puerto Rico, that could be interesting as well. But it would seem like somebody would campaign for a better status for Puerto Rico if it did help. I mean, they're going to have to do something about this financial problem. And Congress is not exactly a friend to anybody who would be living in Puerto Rico, are they?
They are not even paying attention to our complaints and concerns here.
So what in the world will happen next? That's
a very good question. That's a very good question. It seems like we're waiting to see from this group that was appointed by the governor to see what they decide, and then we'll be attacked by all these bondholders. They're killing the co-ops, the cooperatives here, who have invested a lot of money into the government, and out of that money comes from Puerto Ricans here on the island. So. A lot of us are taking our money out of the cooperatives, it's a bad issue.
Well, I don't want to ask you whether or not you still have your money in an Arkansas bank or a Puerto Rican bank, because I bet I know the answer, and that'd be too personal for the radio, so we'll just leave that alone. I was happy to see that Dennis Rivera, who for a long time was one of the top officers of the Service Employees Union, was heading up a committee of healthcare unions, hospitals, pharmacy companies, insurers, trying to make sure that the medical system didn't collapse in Puerto Rico. That could be important. But is that something you all have read about?
That's something that's also going on. But again, you know, it's just another big issue. And, you know, we really don't know what do we handle first. You know, what can we do? We seem to have no control over anything that's going on is the problem.
So,
and everything just hit us all at once.
That must be some unhappy conversations around, you know, the coffee pot out there in various communities in Puerto Rico. I mean, I haven't heard you say a very positive thing yet, Willie. I mean, give me something positive for our listeners here. Is there any hope for Puerto Rico, or, you know?
As far as those issues are concerned, we just don't know. But we still love our island, which is positive. A lot of us will not leave our island. A lot of us really can't leave our island. And it's just a nice place to come and visit now, you know. To live here is a little different. You know, hotels have water. They have no problem. They purchase the water. The water is sold to them. So, you know, and they're because tourism is one of our important money makers here on the island. We try to maintain that. You know, that's been a help that, you know, people do keep on coming, and we do keep on serving them the best that we can here.
Well, Willie, we're thinking about you every day, and we'll look forward to your next visit to Arkansas so we can get an update. But please let us know from time to time what's happening. This is big news. We'd be glad to have your reports not only on the Salsa Show, but any other time. This has been Wade.
I do have a question, Wade, before we
sure.
cut off. Are we still in pledge drive mode?
We are absolutely pledging the heck out of it. So, yes.
Well, yeah. Please ask Carly to write me down for a $50 donation.
You got it.
And I encourage everybody else that's listening to give us a call at 501-433-0088 and pledge also to keep the station going.
Willie, you couldn't be more on time because since you left looking over our finances, we have been sucking air. So we miss you in every way. And this is actually, I think, the first on-the-air pledge drive that Wade's World has ever gotten. And it's only appropriate that it would be Willie Cosme, our Arkarican who runs the Salsa Show. He's given us a great look at what's really happening in Puerto Rico. We've got to think about him and the problems of our island friends. This has been Wade's World. Next week we're going to be talking about some new things in terms of looking at what corporations are really doing and what population is really moving. Wade's World is every Friday, 9 to 9:30. We talk to the most interesting people in the world on KABF 88.3, www.kabf.org, the voice of the people, 100,000 watts of people power in Little Rock. Thank you and goodbye.